Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You can find this starting on page 1772 of your Pew Bibles. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligence I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Quick adjustment, because I figure out what pops, and so if I push it in, it won't pop no more. I have a friend. We went to seminary together, my second year of seminary. We lived in the same house together. If you've heard my story about the preaching professor that hated me, he's the friend that was walking from class with me and affirmed that this preaching professor hated me. He struggled with the ordination process. His committee, though not as unhelpful as mine, was not overly uplifting at times. And throughout all of it, he really struggled with the exams, especially the exegesis exam. He never could quite get to the point where he could write that exam adequately for the readers. He struggled a lot. Conventional wisdom would say that graduating with a Master's of Divinity degree and not becoming ordained would be a failure. Conventional wisdom would say that maybe this guy shouldn't have even went to seminary because the chances of him completing all of the process were fairly slim. Conventional wisdom would say that if you start the ordination process and you do not finish for whatever reason, you have failed. Conventional wisdom would say that you do not take a position that doesn't require a Master's of Divinity after you have the Master's of Divinity. It would be foolish to move to North Dakota to become a youth director. It would be foolish to go to a church that is funded mostly by generous donations of non-attendees. It would be foolish for a white, unordained person to live in a Native American community. It would be foolish to give up the ordination process as it created an unnecessary hurdle and stumbling block that just distracted from his work. It would be foolish to give up the path of becoming a pastor. It would be foolish. He's had more success in his ministry, moving to North Dakota, becoming a youth coordinator, working at this poor church on the Native American reservation, than I've had in my ministry. And I believe I've had some decent success. He took the foolish route and did good. I have another friend. We went to college together. This friend got an art degree, and he drank a lot. Nora knows exactly who I'm talking about already. I remember one time, it was finals week, and he was up either 36 or 48 hours on Monster Energy drinks to finish a project. And he finished it at 7:30, and his presentation was at 8:30, and he went to his room to sleep for 15 minutes and slept for 12 hours and missed his presentation. He was a ball of joy after that happened. He graduated and he found that the job prospects for art majors were involved burgers or construction. And he went the construction route. He started out couch surfing and doing what amounted to day labor on construction sites. He eventually went from that to a soul, what he thought was going to be a very uplifting position with a nonprofit, but became a soul-crushing position at a warehouse, and got promoted from that soul-crushing position to the soul-crushing position of driving their box truck that they refused to fix unless it left him stranded, and sometimes just enough to get him back to the shop. Conventional wisdom says he should have never gotten an art degree in the first place. Conventional wisdom says that if you don't get a job within your major field, you have failed. Conventional wisdom says he should have just found a different career path and given up art. Conventional wisdom says that the path he was on, the regular overdrinking, the depression, the soul-crushing job, led to nothing but pain and torment and failure. It would be foolish to continue doing art. It would be foolish to build a metal shop in the shed of a house you rent from your uncle. It would be foolish to travel to art shows, to pay to go to these art shows, pay to ship your artwork and go in the red. It would be foolish to continue to try to build art. It would be foolish to not just give up and focus on a different career. I saw a picture of a booth of an art show that he was invited to, that he's on the board of, I think. Might not be on the board, but I think he is. I saw the work that he's doing, using recycled materials, melding this image of our use and cast off and Mother Nature. I've seen his skill go from a college art student to a true artist. I've seen him not necessarily making a lot of money, but his art to become profitable. Seeing this beautiful art that tells the story of how much our earth will survive long after we have died off. It would be foolish to move to North Dakota. It would be foolish to keep up with your art. I have a savior. He was born to poor parents, an unwed mother, a stepfather who was a day laborer, likely. Not any higher than a day laborer. I have a savior who was born in what is essentially the backwoods of Israel. I don't know what their word for redneck is, but that's our word. Definitely backwoods redneck of Israel. I have a savior who was a powerful orator who spoke to the lowest and the poorest and the most sinful. I have a Savior who went against the powers of the world and did not align at all with those that could change the world. Conventional wisdom states that our Savior should have worked within the power structures of the day to effect slow and permanent change. Conventional wisdom states that our Savior should have used his oration skills to convince those with some power to create change. Conventional wisdom states that our Savior should not have spent his time with the poor and the needy, because they could do nothing for him. Conventional wisdom states that he should not have dined with sinners, that it did more damage for his cause than it would help. Conventional wisdom says that he needed to worry about his reputation to have a true and good effect. Conventional wisdom states that his inner 12 should have been educated and smart. Conventional wisdom states that dying on a cross would do nothing but destroy his message. Conventional wisdom states he should have saved himself and continued his work. It would be foolish to choose a Savior from Nazareth. It would be foolish for our Savior to be uneducated, son of a day laborer. It would be foolish for him to choose an inner 12 of nobodies. It would be foolish for those 12 to come from the lowest professions, labor, tax collection, thievery, and not from the higher professions, Pharisees, legal scholars, financially minded people, people with power and education. It would be foolish to waste your teaching on those who can do nothing for you. It would be foolish to dine with sinners. It would be foolish to not only die on a cross, but willingly. And when you can save yourself. What's at the front of the front? Aside from being one of the most horrific ways we've devised to kill each other, it's also a sign of great foolishness according to the world. Why would the Savior let himself die? Why would he let himself die in such a degrading and painful way? Why would he be so foolish to die before the world has changed? Why would he be so foolish instead of just sucking up to the powers that be and doing what they want? Why would he be so foolish to preach against the powers that can kill him? Why would he be so foolish to love the poor that can give him nothing back? Why would he be so foolish to do all of these things? I'm standing here in front of you in a church that was built around the message of the stepson of a day laborer, an unwed mother, that was built by his followers, especially fishermen, poor, dirty, disgusting laborers, that was built by people in crisis and in need, with some financial help, but mostly built by those who needed more than they could give. Conventional wisdom states that you would never call a smart but mediocre seminary graduate who went to a seminary based upon real ministry, who grew up no more than four blocks from a cornfield at any one time and had a cornfield in his backyard for a while, who'd done every internship in rural Iowa to lead a church in an urban area of a large metropolitan area in Indiana. I can't say conventional wisdom was wrong yet, don't know. But conventional wisdom would not have done that. This congregation isn't hindered by needing to follow conventional wisdom. But I don't think we're quite to the let's act foolishly yet point. Because there's so many things we could do, but they're risks. We like to wait and see. We like the sure bet. We like to know what's going to succeed. Conventional wisdom is wrong most of the time when it comes to God. Foolishness becomes love and right. Even if it abandons what would make us successful on earth. So let us act foolishly. Not acting out of survival, not acting out of what keeps us in this building, not acting out of what keeps the name on the door. But what is love? What is good? What is the way of Christ? Let's act foolishly. It's a little bit too stuffy in here anyway. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.